Batman. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, here with special guest star Alex Thomas from Green Ronin and other places. How you doing, sir?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on to talk about Batman.
It's good to have you back. And also with us is Ghost Show boss Christopher McLaughlin, the special guest villain for tonight's episode. How are you doing, sir?
I am in the midst of at least a three-day weekend, which really, you know, even by government employee slacking standards is quite a treat.
I raise my emotional support cocktail to you, sir.
One of those classic, like, 7-Eleven glasses from the 70s?
It looks like it, but I got it from, like, Etsy or Redbubble or something. But, yeah.
Still dope.
Yeah.
All right. I have this. There's a guy at Baltimore Comic Con every year who brings a complete set of those, puts them on an open shelf in the corner of his booth, and I've had this recurring 20-year nightmare of turning around too fast and just knocking that over.
It could happen. I remember those from the 70s. My dad got me a cherry slushy in a Doctor Strange cup at Sears Roebuck in Annapolis, Indiana in 1979. That was my only exposure to Doctor Strange for about 20 years. Because I could never find any of his comics, because it was the days of spinner racks.
Oh, yeah.
The spinner racks, and at least around I Wars, were, you know, the flagship characters. And back in those days, God, Doctor Strange, and several others. So we think of Mark. Anyway, Batman episode. Hey, here's the intro music. That artisanally crafted, bespoke intro music assures you, gentle listener, that you are about to encounter a quality, high production value podcast. So, Batman. It is the dream of every American father that his son, his progeny, will enjoy a better Batman franchise than he did. So how do we feel about this latest reboot of the Caped Crusader? Alex, it's been a while, sir. You get to go first.
Yeah, I am a fan of Silence of the Batman, or Seven, according to Batman. This was a very David Lynch Batman movie. I have some reservations, but I have come down on the side of enjoying it. I thought Robert Pattinson was great as Batman. I wish he would have gotten a chance to play Bruce Wayne. And how spoilery were you allowed to be in this discussion?
That's a good question.
Let's go full bore. Let's, you know, Miss Kit goes really Catwoman. Let's just lay it out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me put up the special spoilers banner, and you can now spoil away, sir.
Awesome. I really enjoyed. I very much enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It was. I can't imagine this bringing a lot of 8-year-olds into the Batman fandom, but I think it was. I think DC has finally just given up on introducing new Batman fans, and they're giving the adults what they want with Batman. Is how it feels to me.
You know, there are Batman Lego sets for this movie.
Are there really?
Yeah, I'll get some pictures, but especially the Batmobile. So is this more Batman as a film noir detective kind of thing?
Yeah. It had a lot of the film noir tropes that you kind of want to see. And this was the first Batman movie I've seen in live action where he really felt like he was on a case. I'm trying to imagine the Lego minifig set with the mayor of Gotham with his brains bashed out from a hammer on the ground.
I'm glad. Hey, that banner says spoilers, folks. You can't get mad. We told you.
It's the very first scene of the movie. Yeah.
Well, the Batman sets I'm looking at. Well, let me just show you. Since we're talking Batman Lego sets, I was trying to find some images, but hit the share button. So we got a Batmobile. Got the Batcave, and then you got the Technic, which is the that's the next level advanced set Legos with more advanced parts. But yeah, I don't see any mayor minifigs with extra brain matter. So I think we're focusing on gadgets, which that's the way of Lego. So yeah. How did we feel about Catwoman?
Oh, I loved her. I thought she was awesome.
She
was brutal when she needed to be, and she was very nonchalant about Batman. Like she was non, she was nonplussed with Batman, which I think is always good for a Catwoman. And she got a lot of really good fight scenes, which were awesome.
Okay, that is cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I haven't had a chance to catch it yet. Were there too many villains? Because that was my one thought about the movie when I saw the trailer. Was like, wow, that's a lot of bad guys.
I don't think so, personally. Riddler's sort of the only real villain. There's a couple of mobster types, including Penguin, who are sort of in the background, but they're not antagonists to the story. They're more leads Batman's chasing down.
Okay, all right. So the Penguin doesn't have much to do?
Not a whole lot. He has a couple of pretty good scenes, and I think Colin Farrell did a great job underneath all of that prosthetic makeup. But he didn't have a lot to do this time out. But it seemed like they were setting up that he's going to have more to do in the future.
Okay. That could be kind of cool. Colin Farrell is always pleasant to see on the screen. Yeah. Chris, what did you think about Colin Farrell?
The thing that most struck me about him and John Turturro's character is they seem to have wandered in from like the lost 90s Scorsese mob movie. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because the whole rest of the film has this 90s grunge Gen X vibe, and yet all the Gotham mobsters are listening to Jerry Vale and shooting pool, and you know, and if there were narration in their scenes, you could almost hear like, "All my life, I wanted to be a gangster." So I mean, Turturro is always great, and Colin Farrell is good with what he's given to do, but it's just, it was such an odd mix of styles. It just, that made me smile a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of odd mix of styles, let me drop the spoilers, MFing spoilers. I don't know if you guys can see this, but on the Lego packaging, you have several characters listed by name, including Batman. Mm-hmm. And on the far right of the minifig panel, you've got Bruce Wayne, Drifter.
Yes.
So I thought that was kind of fun because, you know, not just Bruce Wayne, but Bruce Wayne in Drifter mode.
We've seen Batman and Bruce Wayne in the same room at the same time. They can't possibly be the same person now.
I would have gone with Bruce Wayne Bindlestiff just to send people to their dictionaries.
You're making Google that, aren't you?
My love of old-timey words strikes again.
Well, that's a hobo, isn't it? A bindle. Yeah, there we go. Nice. Yeah. Oh, hey, Jacob Blackman.
Oh, hey, Jacob. The butts don't match.
The butts don't match. I don't know what that's from, but I'm amused.
Do we think he stuffs the bat panties, or do you think he stuffs the business suit?
Maybe he stuffs both, but differently.
Yeah. Speaking of what Chris was talking about, though, the mixing of styles was, I think it really contributed to making Gotham feel like, you know, how Gotham always feels sort of out of time. It always feels like it's a town and weird blend of different genres and different time periods. And sort of like in the animated series where everybody had Tommy guns, but there were also computers. So it was, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this captured that feeling in live action. And I'm glad the Batmobile's a car again instead of a tank. I wish it was an Art Deco coupe, but I'll live with the Mustang.
Wouldn't have suited this one. Wouldn't have suited this one.
No.
They're going to reboot it again in 20 years, so you might get your chance. Oh, hey, you know, Jacob, I invited you to this podcast, sir, and you politely didn't hear it. But here, Jacob's in the comments. Batman runs several conspiracy theory websites in the DC Comics, and he's trying to convince people that Bruce Wayne is Batman because they have the same butts.
Do you think Batman runs the websites, or Tim Drake runs the websites?
I don't know. It could be. Is this something from Chip Zdarsky's Jimmy Olsen comic? Because that's what this sounds like. But. So, Chris, I know you're a great fan of the film noir genre.
Yes.
Well, what was your opinion of this movie?
This was not a noir.
This was not a noir? Okay.
No. Noir, your character has to fail. Now, you may have like a 2-minute ending that the studio tacked on at the end, but the real ending of the film is the guy fails, usually because he was a good person who made one bad choice. This was like if your friend who is completely obsessed with true crime podcasts and CSI got into a transport accident with your comic book friend fan. So it's almost like a CSI or episode where occasionally Batman shows up. So yes, it's there's not much moral ambiguity at all, and certainly not enough to put it in noir territory. No, but that's okay. Not everything has to be a noir. This isn't one.
Yeah, spoilers again, but I would like to point out that Batman did fail. Like Gotham City got flooded at the end.
Yeah, but I mean, the city's a crap hole. Now it's just a wet crap hole. But now people have hope, which is something that's even more valuable than their previous state of being.
Okay, all right.
And the fact that they have hope at the end is like the least noir thing you could possibly do in a film. So.
Well, that makes sense. All right. So how does it end? Go ahead and spoil me. I got the banner up.
What? I'm sorry.
Batman finally catches the Riddler, but when he's interrogating him in Arkham, the Riddler reveals that he brought Batman here so they could watch the final culmination of his plan, and 7 truck bombs go off and they break the seawall in Gotham and the whole city gets flooded. And
okay.
Presumably thousands of people die because Batman wasn't around. And it was the first Batman movie I've ever said, man, I wish Aquaman was here.
I'm sure somebody died, but I mean, they, at the end they showed the flood water is kind of almost a countertop level. You know, that isn't necessarily a Johnstown kind of thing. I'm sure slow middle-aged professors, so if you lost a few of those, but I don't know, it's necessarily, you know, as bad as it might have been.
All right, that's cool.
I think it's good enough for everybody to move to Metropolis, but
I feel like if you're living in Gotham at this point in time, you've made a choice to just embrace the Gothamness, because you could have gone to Metropolis, you could have gone to Central City, you could have gone to Keystone City, you could have gone to Star City, but no, something about you said, I want to stay in the place with all the killer clowns.
Well, you know, that kind of ties in with one of the things that I really appreciated about the film is that we've seen various visions of Gotham, like the let's spend 4 hours inside Tim Burton's head version that we had in the late 80s, early 90s, and
Did we just lose Chris?
The rainbow vomit one that was inflicted upon us in the Schumacher film. But, you know, this one looked like where our world seems to be going. You know, it's a corrupt police force, crooked charities aimed to serve politicians, crime going through the roof, and everything being dominated by a class of isolated rich douchebags who make rules just so they don't have to follow. And you know, the notion of being trapped in a crumbling city because, you know, you're there for job reasons or, I wonder if that's one of the more resonant things in a film that I'm sure will be divisive. Mm-hmm. I came out of it thinking about how some people are really going to hate this and for valid reasons. But yeah, but for those of us that are Gen Xers and seeing everything fall apart despite our best efforts, you know, there was a lot in there for us to love, even if I can totally understand why, you know, there's going to be people like, where's Adam West? Why doesn't Batman do the Bat-2C anymore? it's like if you're into any other Batman, you could very easily just really hate this film.
Yeah,
But to me, okay, roughly speaking, we're up to what, 87 Batman films?
If you're counting the old serials, yes.
Yeah, I'm just so thing wasn't Zack Snyder. I'm really glad it isn't the Ben Affleck version, because it was basically his Batman's superpower is murdering people, and he was going to take on Deathstroke, whose superpower is murdering people. You know, and God, they may, oh God, that may have been a Zack Snyder might have been involved in that. The guy who thinks what the franchise really needs is some prison rape. But you know, I mean, just you know, maybe
Chris, it's my Chris, I'm getting the idea you're not a fan of Mr. Snyder. Is that accurate?
I constantly alibi myself in case something happens to him. But yeah, it's just, geez, you know, I mean, it's, you know, if nothing else, I had to celebrate this film because it was going to be our least bad option as far as bat films go.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I saluted on that level, if nothing else.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat, Professor. The, one of the things I really liked about this movie is you could tell the people who wrote it were definitely bat fans. Like they studied and took from a lot of bat media that admittedly did some of their plots that they came up with a little bit better, like the Riddler being Hush thing that they sort of danced around but didn't play with. That was in one of the animated movies, and the Thomas Wayne being a piece of shit thing that they did. They took from the Enemy Within video game, which was really, really good. Well, but you can see the influences.
Flawed. Yeah. I don't know if we could go full One Piece of shit, but flawed.
Yes, but they didn't commit to it. I mean, that's sort of a disconnect with modern audiences, because we know Thomas Wayne is a billionaire, and there's no ethical way to be a billionaire. You've got to be horrible to hoard that much wealth. Like, yeah, it's hard to root for the trust fund kid who's beating up homeless people in this day and age.
Elon Musk would beg to differ, but he's not here, so we can talk shit about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not here, but he did get millions of dollars from his wealthy benefactors that he turned into billions of dollars.
Yeah. Oh, this guy, Russian Troll, showing up in the comments. That's mention Elon Musk and see what happens. Crazy. Okay, well, I was hoping for a spirited debate, knowing Chris's general feelings about the all things DC, but we seem to basically be agreeing that this wasn't a bad movie at all.
We can't take a minute and tell our Russian friend to go fuck himself along with his fucking president.
Mm-hmm. I guess we just did.
Okay, well, thank you. I felt that needed to be said.
Fair enough. You're getting political here on BAMF, folks, because that's how we roll on this Friday night. So apparently this
if he gets to take down trillionaires, I get a shot at Putin.
I don't blame you.
We're both hating on oligarchs, okay? That's just how it is.
Fair enough. So where do you guys see this franchise going? What is next for Pattinson as a Batman?
Well, they made a lot of money, so I'm sure they're going to make another...
You know, the McGee mansion is divided over this film, and my wife in particular didn't care much for Pattinson. And again, I totally get that. You know, if George Clooney was your Batman, you're not going to like what Pattinson did. I get it. It's valid not to like his approach, but given that if they were going to make one, they were going to make three. This is a Bruce that has somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reminded of Nick Meyer was telling a story about the making of Star Trek II, and the problem he had at the beginning was Ricardo Montalban was playing it very big and broad from the very first scene. And he said, the only note I had to give Ricardo Montalban the whole making of the film was, I pull him aside and says, if you start at the top of your range, you have no place to take the audience. Mm-hmm. And from there on, he was perfect. No, you barely needed a second take. And clearly, this is Pattinson starting at the bottom of his range. Do a lot with this character over the course of, at least three movies. I guess we're in four.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to them too. I think he wound up in a place that gives me a lot of hope for the franchise. Just like, I'm excited to see what he can do now that he's sort of, he's elevated from Simple-Minded Vengeance to Avatar of Hope for Gotham. I think I want to see that journey from beginning to end.
But, I mean, we're in agreement that we're just not going to see him in the Justice League, right? He'll never be making a cameo in Peacemaker?
I don't think so.
God, I hope not.
I wouldn't imagine.
I actually like that this is its own little thing where there actually aren't superpowers. And, you know, we never for a second have to look at this Batman and go, are you the one that could be freaked out by pointing that my mom and yours have the same last name? Or have the same first name? You know, the more you distance yourself from that, I think the better this franchise is going to be.
I have a conspiracy theory. They're the same woman. Martha faked her death in that alley and ran off with her Kansas boyfriend.
All right. You know what? I've been keeping this to myself, Alex, but before we're going to go there, my headcanon is they're the same woman and they're also Martian Manhunter.
Oh, no.
John had a premonition. He knew Earth was going to need heroes. So he set out to give Earth heroes.
He took that bullet.
The best way he knew how. Which is terrible, man. But the more you think about it, you could see that happening in like a Warren Ellis comic or something. God help us, Grant Morrison.
You'd have to work poo in there too, I think, somehow. Well, not that I want to figure out how to do that, but it seems like that, you know, to get your Warren Ellis bingo.
Fair enough. So, I think this image I'm showing right now is to remind us there have definitely been worse Batman movies. But for our viewers, well, you can see it. And for our listeners later on iTunes, I am showing a picture of action figures from, I believe this was the George Clooney movie, right? Batman Forever?
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, Batman and Robin with the nipples on the Robin suit. So
you know, I was 7 when those movies came out, and they were great for getting me into Batman. I wouldn't be a Batman fan if I hadn't seen how much fun the character could be.
You know, I'm right there with you. I was talking to a much younger fellow than me, the guy who does Bork's memes, if you're familiar with those, RPG meme lord. And we were talking about Star Wars, and he was like, you know what? Fuck you. Those Ewok movies on TV were a lot of fun. I watched them when I was 6. I loved them. They were fantastic. And it made me realize that to really enjoy the franchise, you got to think it really is for kids. And you got to take the next step and be like, there's an awful lot of Star Wars that is just long toy commercials. Mm-hmm. And once you embrace that, whenever you see something that isn't explicitly a long toy commercial, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think gateway media is important. I think it's important to come up with something that can funnel new fans into a franchise so new ideas can come in and we all don't get old and die watching the same movie over and over and over again.
Well, you become the Sunday comics, mm-hmm. where no one's reading it who's under the age of 50. And, you know, my mom is like, oh, that Marmaduke. No one under the age of 45 has any idea what the hell she's talking about.
But, you know, yeah. James Patterson wrote a new Shadow novel recently.
Really?
Yeah, I work in a library, and I was shelving our new books, and I was like, is this the Shadow? And it was a weird time travel story where he time traveled to the 2020s and solved a case. It was crazy.
Well, James Pattinson's a hugely successful writer, and that's a really popular character who's now in the public domain. Mm-hmm. Much like Bill Willingham's Elementals as of like 48 hours ago. So
I saw that. That's really exciting.
It really is. I'm not sure. It almost seems like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy because apparently someone else still has a contract saying he owns them. But Willingham just kind of went out in the street corner and the internet and said, this is public domain now. So, there are people who really want to do more with that franchise that's being done right now. So that might be an interesting thing to watch. But I've been seeing that Robert Pattinson novel when I go to the supermarket because it's right there next to the greeting card section. I'm like, that can't be a Shadow novel. I'm glad you mentioned that to me because I might.
Yeah, no, it's I read the back of it and I was like, this is literally the newspaper character.
Isn't it every writer's dream though to be right there next to the latest celebrity diet fads?
And you know, you scoff, but they move so many paperbacks next to the magazines. They really do.
I'm only hardly kidding here.
That's why they're trying to get, I mean, that's why you've got D&D being sold in Walmart, you know, next to the, you know, whatever crap they sell at Walmart.
Well, my generation never would have found it if it hadn't have been in like toy stores and in Walden Books and B. Dalton and other things, which are making me sound really ancient.
I used to work at a Walden Books back in Indianapolis, Indiana. I was the best book club seller for the month or two I was there.
Wow.
By a very specific technique, I would neg you. I would start to sell you the card, and then I would stop. Not sure this is for you. It was awful, but we were evaluated how many of those cards we moved. And, that technique was kind of surprisingly high number of people. Like 1 in 7 would be like, "That is for me. What are you talking about?
How dare you? I am a cultured person."
Yeah, it's. Shouldn't have worked. Jacob Blackman says, does that mean Ironwood is also public domain? Oh my, who is Ironwood? Because I don't know. Jacob, can you help me out here?
Yeah, did Bill Willingham write Fables? That's what I think I know
him for. He wrote Fables, and he had a very short, ill-fated run on JSA after Jeff Johns left. Hey, we just got two more viewers. Hey, for those just joining us, we've been discussing Batman, the Robert Pattinson version, with Chris McLaughlin, Alex Thomas, and the consensus seems to be it's okay.
It's not great, but if you are of a certain age and a certain mood, it's really, 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 really good.
What's the age and mood there, sir?
Now, if you're a Gen Xer, go now. You know, because really, I mean, this was our Batman. I mean, there's even a Nirvana song on the soundtrack. I mean, even if I hadn't have heard Matt Reeves specifically say, my take was, what if Kurt Cobain were Batman? I mean, this is our movie. It's, we inherited the world just in time to watch it fall apart. And we, the children who grew up with nuclear warheads pointed at us, we learned to survive by being ironic and detached. So when we care about something, we're willing to go to crazy lengths for it. And this movie is all about the people that still believe as hard as they don't want to. But that are just tired, man, because it all seems to be falling apart, you know? And it's just, you know, coming out of that movie with its sense of hope and possibility, you know, really, 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 really spoke to me. And again, as much as I liked it, I had a very easy time seeing people significantly younger, significantly older than me, legitimately hating it for legit reasons.
Mm. Okay. Jacob Blackman is answering the mystery for us, much like Batman would if he were here, and saying that Ironwood is an adult comic book written by Willingham that took place on Avalon, a fantasy world that they traveled multiple times in the Elementals comic. Jacob, it might mean that. I'm not sure. I almost feel like Willingham was being a little sticking his finger in the eye of the IP rights holder when he did this. So I'm not sure if it includes Ironwood or not. But I can think of 3 or 4 publishers I've seen on Facebook in the last couple of days who were like, I would like to make that into an RPG. Because, you know, some people have too much money and they want to lose it. And, this is my favorite scene of Batman in the last couple of years of comics. This is from the hilarious Chip Zdarsky written Jimmy Olsen, Superman's pal. And Batman is brooding in the Batcave with one of those Steve Martin arrows hats saying, I'm also hilarious.
I love when Batman's got a dry sense of humor. I love when Batman can crack a joke, even if it's just a small one every now and then.
You know, you remember that Justice League Unlimited episode there at the end where he had to sing a song?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that was, everyone's just, I mean, not too much of that, but a little bit every now and then. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, or World's Finest, that first Batman Superman movie when the giant airplane blows up and Harley Quinn yells out, Puddin'! And Batman says, yeah, he probably is now.
He is, yeah. Beautiful thing. Yeah, it'd be fun is to like do Raiders Theater with some of these scenes.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. Alas,
have we ever really topped, but that shark was pulling my leg?
Fair enough. That could be all right. Well, I feel like we're circling the drain. I mean, I'm having a good time talking to you guys, but I kind of feel like we've kind of dug into this movie and got all we have to say about it. Is anything else you guys want to explore about this particular subject?
Yeah, I'll throw in one more. If they ever give an Academy Award for best entrance by a car, I have never seen a car make a better entrance in a film. And it stands out all the more because whatever else Matt Reeves has going for him as a director, he's not that much of an action guy. There's not a whole lot of Biff Zock Pow for a 3-hour movie. And other than there's one fight in a hallway that's lit entirely by gun muzzle flashes, it's nothing really special when you do get some action. But the Batmobile entrance was just breathtaking. And I was blessed to see it at our local Alamo Draft House with a Dolby Atmos sound system. Yes. So yeah. Chicks dig the car. Professor dug the car.
All right, cool. And new viewer, I can't say your name. I'm sorry. Mind over matter. No, I got it. It's the emotional support cocktail. It's robbing me of cognition. I'm 48. The Batman was very good, IMO. It managed to be interesting and well done despite its pitfalls. It was an opinion amongst myself and my friends that 7 was a Batman movie without Batman. Now it exists. I could see that point about 7, actually.
Yeah, no, I've been calling it Silence of the Batman or 7 with Batman in it to anybody who will listen because it has that feeling to it.
The always on point Alamo Draft House played a bunch of bat related stuff before the movie, and the two outstanding ones were we got the trailer for 7, and we also got the trailer for Filipino Batman, and it really set a mood.
I was unaware that Filipino Batman was a thing.
It ends with Batman and all his archenemies and most of the DC characters doing a chorus line music number set to the tune of At the Hop. But it's talking about how let's all be good, let's not do wrong, and it. I've never.
We lost Chris again.
Oh man, that was exciting.
I think I could check that one off. I just had a couple other things I want to throw in about the movie, if it's okay. First of all, even if you don't like this particular, again, like I said, I understand if people look at this and go, it's not their Batman. But, you know, any film that ends with the most dangerous thing about the Riddler being the fact that he can speak to, like, completely hopeless internet shut-ins who have nothing going on in their life and can be very easily talked into imitating him and getting guns and going out and shooting and committing random acts of violence because he says so because he looks cool on the internet. That's got a power to it, I think. You know, that's the part that made. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry when you see the YouTube page where Riddler is talking to his followers and he's talking about, you know, going out shooting rich people of Gotham, and there's a like and follow button.
Yeah,
didn't know whether to laugh or cry at that one. That was something else there. And okay. Now let's say that me and Alex have somehow managed not to talk you into liking at least one thing about this film. It ends with maybe the ultimate statement of why you should keep fighting and why eventually good can win. Because for the first time on a motion picture screen that I have seen, the film ends with Batman created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger.
Yeah.
Finally.
They did do that in Batman v Superman too.
Okay. I was probably busy vomiting and missed that. But yeah, thank you. I know that.
Yeah.
Good old DC for that one.
And I will say that I saw that movie and I actually steamed up the windows in my car. I was so mad on the drive home. After seeing Batman v Superman and the first Suicide Squad.
Well, it is good to see Bill Finger getting recognized after all these decades.
Yes.
And DC seems to be embracing the quirky humor of, well, let's look at the second Suicide Squad movie. Although this one, I'm guessing, is devoid of quirky humor and meta references.
There are a couple of solid laugh lines, but it's the best kind of laughter in that it's authentic to the character. Mm-hmm. Oh, and my goodness, I would be so remiss if I didn't mention how great Jeffrey Wright and Andy Serkis are, because good Lord, how many people have played Commissioner Gordon? How many people played Alfred to this point? And it's like they walk on screen.
We lost Chris again.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, that was something I really appreciated, was the emphasis on Gordon and Batman's special relationship and all the time they got to spend together actually investigating and doing detective work. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, and Jeffrey, right? He's so good in this. I mean, he's like the avatar for people that are completely exhausted and out of fucks. And I just, man, right there, it's like, that's a guy living my life on the screen there. Mm.
And he was funny too. There were a few lines I was like,
yes.
No guns. That's your thing.
That was great. That was great. Yeah. And I guess maybe the last thing you say about this is, you know, I look back on the last year or so, I thought Black Widow was an okay disappointment. I thought Shang-Chi was a slightly less okay disappointment. I thought Eternals was god-awful on many levels. No Way Home, awesome. Awesome movie. But now, okay, DC rattles off the James Gunn Suicide Squad, Peacemaker, and now this. I don't know how to live in a world where I'm way more okay with DC movies than Marvel movies. I just, nothing prepared me for this.
Don't worry, May's coming. Doctor Strange is going to bring it all back.
I hope so. I hope
Sam Raimi, Doctor Strange. I can't wait. I'm ecstatic.
Multiverse. Yeah, but you guys know my awesome wife. DC's coming back with Legion of Super Pets. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a manuscript in Dropbox I need to edit. We're planning to release. Jacob, I'm gonna get the Super Pets. I promise. Try to do a timed release. So we're never going to see an Enter the Multiverse style movie with Batman. Because if you look at the picture I'm displaying right now, which has roughly 30 different variations of the character, I think it'd be hilarious to see Adam West teamed up with Lego Batman, teamed up with, Brave and the Bold, Val Kilmer.
It would be dope.
But they're never going to do that, right? There's just no way.
Never say never. I mean, Michael Keaton's going to be Batman again this year.
Yeah, that's true. He is. So they're definitely playing with the multiverse vibe over in DC, albeit, not quite as loud and proud as Marvel is about it. But
there's my favorite multiversal project.
You did not, sir.
I was with my lifelong friend Hal Mangold helping run the booth at Gen Con of a company I was formerly associated with. And Hal gets a lot of portfolio reviews, given that he's the graphic designer and art person. And a guy came up with a cover for a role-playing book that did not exist, sadly. He had done a cover for GURPS Ernest Borgnine. It was like a fictional GURPS setting where like you could play any Ernest Borgnine character. It's like, if you've always been dying to run a game where like you want to team up Ernest Borgnine from Marty with like Ernest Borgnine from Wild Bunch with Ernest Borgnine from Poseidon Adventure and maybe Ernest Borgnine from Airwolf and have them go on adventures together. And it was so well drawn, so completely insane, and just so committed to it. I spent the whole rest of the week going like, so you hired that guy, right? You invented a book so he could draw it, right? Come on. That anybody that nuts has to be a part of the game industry. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping before I leave this earth, somebody will actually do GURPS Ernest Borgnine.
That's awesome. I've played a couple of games that have been like that. I played a game that was all of the characters were Harrison Ford characters going up against Christopher Lee characters.
It could be a series then.
Yeah, that was cool. Also, one thing I did love about this movie that got a little laugh from me that was unintended, I'm sure, by Matt Reeves, was one, at one moment Batman picks up a baseball bat and beats somebody with it. And I was like, look, he is Batman. But I've been making that joke to myself for years, and they finally did it on screen just for me.
One way that would have been better was if he had stopped and spray painted utility belt on his baseball bat before he did that. I'm still speechless about your Ernest Borgnine story. That's wow, that is quirky.
And it was, and the worst part was it was in the pre-cell phone era, or like that. That would be like my, I would have got a picture, and that would be like my online avatar. I wouldn't even care that nobody would know what it was. I would, that would be my online avatar.
That is pretty cool. So have we covered this one? Have we mined this vein as deeply as we can?
We got 40 minutes out of a 3-hour movie. I think that's pretty good.
Fair enough. Yeah. Alex, any closing thoughts?
Go see it. Please support your local DC movie so we get better ones in the future, I hope.
Indeed. So, hey, what did you think about Peacemaker, Alex?
Oh, I loved Peacemaker. I thought it was great. I think it's a very specific kind of great, and it appeals to a very specific kind of audience, but I was in that audience.
I'm right there with you. Oh, hey, do you ever see Batman from John Cleese's True Grit?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, they let John Cleese write Batman.
Wow.
And the idea was Batman lands in agricultural England instead of Kansas, and he gets raised by a couple of well-meaning English folks in the Midlands.
Isn't it like Superman that lands in England?
That's what I meant. Once again, I'm blaming the emotional support cocktail. But yeah, so Superman lands in England. And
well, I mean, it's the same Martha both times.
Anyway, for those who can't see our screen on iTunes, sorry. But yeah, Batman's kind of a villain in this. He's a poor fellow who has a cricket bat, a childhood trauma, where a cricket bat gets inserted into his abdomen, and he's devised a power suit he can wear to keep him alive. And there's a picture of, well, that guy.
The Batman,
yeah. It's not a bad book. It's an awful lot of John Cleese in one concentrated dose. If you like Monty Python, you'll like this book. If you don't, it might not be for you, but it exists. It's a thing that's out there. So
I'll check it out. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I love pun names for characters.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in there. All right. So once again, our contractually obligated outro. Thank you, Alex Thomas, for coming to see us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I saw this movie and I was like, I need to talk to somebody about it.
Glad we could help you out. Christopher McLaughlin, thank you for being here, sir. It's always a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Buy our books.
Buy our books, Transgressive Horror.
Oh, yes. God bless you. Thank you.
I got my author copy. It's so good.
Yeah. You can find them on DriveThru or Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Because we're real publishers. I don't care what our
mom. Or come to my house.
You can come to Chris's house. he's not on house arrest anymore. So.
You have to force him to take you to Alamo Drafthouse Theater, though, because that is something on my
bucket list. Force.
All right, folks. We'll catch you next time on the BAM Podcast.